In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So would you please do me a favor? Can you go to podsurvey.com/Jamie? That's J-A-M-I-E, podsurvey.com/Jamie, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You guys, you can buy a lot of great things on Amazon for $100. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. Guys, thanks for your help. Go to podsurvey.com/Jamie.
Every person has a story, and some parts of those stories feel too hard to tell. You are listening to If You Only Knew, a mini-series brought to you by the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast.
On today's show, my friend Lisa Whittle joins me and opens up about her struggle with shopping. Lisa came to a point in her life where she knew that she wanted to eliminate anything that was getting between her and God, and she found that it was shopping. My hope for you as you listen is that you will not just hear about a woman who gave up shopping for a bit, but you will hear about a woman who was determined to rid her heart and soul of anything that was getting between her and God, even if it was something that to most of us sounds like kind of not that big of a deal. I'm so thankful for Lisa in sharing her story because I know that what she says is true. We're all much more alike than we think. You guys, if you're interested in hearing more of my story, check out my book, If You Only Knew, that releases on January 30th, where I invite you into my story and show you that each of us has a story that matters and that together we can encourage each other, point each other to Jesus, and all proclaim that indeed Jesus is better. Here is my conversation with Lisa. Okay, Lisa, what is your If You Only Knew thing in your life?
So it's shopping. It's actually, I struggled in the area of shopping too much. And so I know that's kind of broad sounding, but what I mean by that is, you know, I just found myself that was kind of my go-to, right? So anytime I was feeling stressed, anytime I was feeling sort of less than, or like something wasn't working out, or just like I wanted a pick me up, or, you know, usually it was to deal with some type of emotion, I would go to this weird shopping deflection. And yeah, so I kind of reached this place in my life where I realized it was something that was hindering me from God. And it was kind of a long revelation, I guess. I mean, it was one of those things when I look back, I think the Lord sort of did the unearthing and the uncovering probably back around 2011, 2012. I had just written this book called Whole, which had brought out a lot of stuff. And I was at a really raw place in my life where I kind of told the Lord, like, all right, what else? Bring it. Mm-hmm. Like, show me some more stuff. What else do I need to work on?
That's a scary thing to say out loud. I'll just say that.
Yeah, right. That's what I was going to say. When you ask him, he'll usually let you know. And so it was weird because then it was like, you know, he began to show me just some ugly stuff and some buried stuff. And he began to peel back, you know, sort of like, I don't know, for lack of a better way to say it, like scales from my eyes, mm-hmm, I guess, and show me how this thing that seems really innocent or seemed really innocent really wasn't, because it was getting in our way. And so there were several things that happened, right, that were sort of catalysts, but I was recalling some conversations and really it took me 3 years from the time the Lord sort of showed me that to be obedient. And I actually did in January 2015, I did a 1 year shopping fast, and that's what broke the cycle. But I will tell you, Jamie, the reason why I finally decided to face this head on, because what's weird is, like with shopping, you know, we women are really bad at justifying and enabling each other with this,
yep, because totally.
We're like, hey, you know, I like to shop too. I mean, I like cute stuff too. You know, it's, we make each other feel better because we want to make each other feel better. And a lot of us struggle with it too. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to talk about it. And that's one thing I found out in the aftermath. But when I look back at conversations, I realize there were a lot of us that was sort of looking at each other like, somebody help me out of this kind of like cycle I'm in. And what it came down to, bottom line, Jamie, the reason why I decided to sort of dive into this is because I wanted to eliminate any reason that God and I would not be okay. Mm. And that was the catalyst, man, for me going, shopping is dumb. If that's getting in between God and I don't care whether I have the money. I don't care whether I'm a bargain shopper, because those were all my justifications.
Right.
Well, this is within your means. Well, you can afford this, you know, and you're not going into debt over it. It was like the silent thing. But I wanted to eliminate any reason God and I would not be okay. And shopping was on my way. And when I realized that, I was like, I could not. It's like a hot potato in my hands. I had to get rid of.
Mm. You know, one thing, as I'm listening to you share this, and I think people might think, at least it's not that big of a deal. It's shopping.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand what the big deal is, because my thing that I'm thinking that if anyone knew about me, I'd be so embarrassed of, is like way bigger than yours. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it was what you ran to. It was what you went to when you were sad, when you were happy, when you were filling up a hole that was never meant to be filled up by shopping with shopping. And so I think that that's good to hear your story, because I'm thinking people are listening knowing, dang it, this is me. This is me. So when you started to feel like, okay, God, I'm asking you, take whatever, show me anything else that's between you. And he says shopping. Was your first reaction, it's not that big of a deal? Or did you know?
My first reaction, evidenced by the fact it took me 3 years to think about it, was it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So I relate to your listeners. But here's what I'll tell you. Well, a couple of things. One, it doesn't matter whether something seems very small or very big. We put sin on a scale, right?
Yep.
We're the ones who go, wow, that's a biggie. That one's kind of smaller. That one seems not that big of a deal. The bottom line is, if anything gets between you and God, it's got to go,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, okay, what's hard about this is like, there's certain things we have to have, you know, toiletries, like people want us to bathe and whatever. And so like the shopping gets weird, because you go like, well, what level of shopping? The bottom line is like, we have this internal thing. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, that lets us know when we're like, it's a course correction, when we're getting way off course. And so, you know, I would say that when the Lord began to reveal it to me, I wouldn't say it was all at one time. I thought, oh, wow, shopping is my issue. It was either a slow revelation or it was a slow like receiver. I'm sure it was on my receiving end. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to look at it, to be honest with you, because that's kind of what I felt like. Jamie was like, look, there's a lot of people who've got a lot of vices.
Right.
Can you give me shopping?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, and I just want to make my house really pretty. And that's the problem was, I was bargaining. I was like a bargain shopper too. And I wasn't racking up thousands and thousands of debt in credit cards. That's the tricky part of it. But the reality is, do you want everything to be clean between you and God? And so the things that God is pointing out to you, whether you consider them small or big, you know, that's not really your territory to call it, you know, it's really not. It's just, are you going to obey the Lord in whatever he asks you to do? And it's not always going to make sense. And if you compare yourself to someone else, I dare say you're going to be worse than some people and better than others.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to play that game anymore. You know, it didn't matter to me whether a million people thought that was silly. I'm sure some people thought my shopping fast was silly, but here's what I'll tell you. I could give you scores of emails and texts and boxes from people who said, please tell me about your shopping. I think it's an issue too. And that's what happens when you're honest with things like that. There's an unearthing, and a lot more people than you think struggle with this in a big way.
Well, you know, and I think too, like when we start, you're talking about this, like putting sin on a scale, it does a couple of things. Number one, if you think your sin is just the worst possible sin anyone could commit, then you're super shameful usually, and you don't want to say it out loud. But if you're looking at your sin and you're like, it's not that bad, I'm not killing anyone, I'm not an addict, you know, all of
these things, it's super small, I think it gets a lot easier to just justify and sit in it. So they both produce something in us that keeps us separated from God, you know? Yeah. So what did you feel like? I know you said you blogged about this and talked about it. What did it feel like when you said it to a face-to-face to a girlfriend? Because I talk about this a lot when I talk to people about sharing their stories, is I happen to write a book and you're an author as well. And so we share things publicly. But I'm most certain that we share them personally with our real friends before they ever make it into a book or a podcast. What did it feel like the first time you said these things out loud to a girlfriend?
Well, it felt scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, it felt like I was weak. I don't like to be in a weak position. So that's like, I just study the Enneagram. So I'm like, well, that's an 8 thing to say. I don't like to be in a weak position. So to say I'm struggling to the point that I'm going to have to take drastic measures and go on a year shopping fast, that feels like weakness, man. And I don't really like that. But I think what happens is whatever the sin is in our life, and by the way, what are we supposed to do? Only discuss the things that we think are big? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like right. When you're talking about people, it's like, I love the fact that you're doing this, If I Only Knew, because I think the things that littler are probably the things that we need to talk about more. Because first of all, sin leads to sin leads to sin. Mm-hmm. Whatever secret is confessor, and that's where Satan can get in there. And, we need to be clean no matter what we think our level is. But I don't know. It felt scary at first when I told my girlfriend. I can remember I was actually thinking about this. My girlfriend who went to heaven in 2013, Jen, when I remember the first time we were at the mall, this had to have been in about 2011 because she wasn't well enough to walk around the mall with me in 2012. Mm. She was a shopper, and it was 2011. It was one of her last outings that I can remember going on with her. We were walking around the mall and I said, I'm really praying about something. I feel like the Lord's telling me that I've got some issues with shopping I need to deal with. And I just said it in passing and we just kind of kept walking down the mall. And she was quiet, and Jen was rarely quiet. And we were probably, 7 stores past where we were when I told her that. And she looked at me and she said, "Hey, about that shopping thing, talk to me a little bit more about that, because I'm interested in that. What do you mean?" And she didn't tell me at the time, like, I think I'm struggling with this too. Mm-hmm. But it was like community, mm-hmm. It was like all of a sudden when I said it, I was kind of scared to say it. But because she was a woman of strength and that felt vulnerable. But when she grabbed my arm and said, "Tell me a little bit more about that," I thought, oh, maybe Jen needs to talk about this too. And so it felt scary, but it felt like community. And I know enough to know that, man, we're just all much more alike than what we think.
Yeah.
If I struggle with it, so does she, so does she. And I've had that confirmed a million times over since sharing it publicly. I took it public, in fact, Jamie, because I needed the accountability. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to talk about it at first.
Yeah.
It wasn't because it was a shameful place, because I'm pretty vulnerable in my writing and I share a lot of things. But I knew that the only way I wasn't going to just one day have a cart full of clothes and go check them out was if somebody in my town might possibly see me.
Is if you put it out there.
Yeah. So accountability is powerful in a space like that.
I love when you're talking about your story with your friend. And it's something that I hear oftentimes when people have walked through some sort of struggle that they felt needed to be a secret at first, and then they got the courage to share it out loud, is more times than none, what they realize is that they went first and it gave someone else the opportunity to go, "Me too. I understand this as well." And your friend was giving you that. She was providing you a safe place for you to do that as well. Now, my question for you that I ask a lot of times when people are saying, "Hey, here's something I've been walking through," is how do you fight that today?
Well, first of all, I realized that in that year shopping fast, I learned to say no to myself, because, breaking from habits are really powerful, because that's, sometimes we just get in these ruts and these crazy frenzies. And that's why breaking fast, just whatever we do to take a breather from our life to get out of that sort of you know, off the hamster wheel, whatever, out of the whirlwind we're in, is powerful, because sometimes just breaking and changing helps us do something different. So I've learned to tell myself no, which is really powerful. And every time I tell myself no in a shopping situation, I feel the strength and the power of God. I remember too that obedience to God is worth any earthly sacrifice. There is nothing that feels like obedience, and an immediate yes to God too is important. I think the most important thing I have realized in that, and the way I try to have success now, is in making a plan. It's funny how, you know, we plan a lot of things, but we want to wing our spiritual lives. We want to, you know, we want to have success in certain things, but then we just do it by winging it, or we think we can do it by winging it. No, you know, things that have had a grip on us, it's very important to make a plan for them not to capture us again. And so in this case, I've made a plan. And so I have a very practical plan. And my practical plan is that anytime I buy something new, I have to donate 5 things in my closet.
Really?
Yeah. And it's been really powerful for me because, one, it's helped me keep my closet smaller. Now, my closet still has plenty of things in it, so please, no one feel sorry for me.
Right.
full disclosure on that. I have to love it enough, whatever I'm buying, that I have to part with 5 things. So I know that it's got to be a real, it's got to be a real winner.
That is a great plan for you.
Yeah, it is. So that's something too that has really been helpful. And you know, listen, there's successes, there's, you know, there's times that I feel like, even right now, I was thinking on my phone right now, I follow a place on IG that I love their clothes. It's one of my favorites. Their clothes are not expensive at all. So it makes me go, oh, that shirt's only $35. I could get that, you know, which, you know, might sound expensive to some people, but maybe it doesn't sound to others. But anyway, so I look at it, I'll be like, oh, I could afford that. And then, but I'm like, I really need to take them off my phone because I like their clothes too much. And so I can feel things like that. Now I hold myself accountable more in those spaces. And so that's super important.
You know, as you're talking through sharing about this struggle that you've walked through, I have thought into myself times when I too have ran to this idea of shopping to fulfill a need. Usually there is also an Instagram store that I love that all you have to do is write sold and your size. And then they send you an email and then you PayPal it and then it shows up at your door. And it's dangerous. And yeah. I have found myself, and this is very convicting listening to you, and it's making me kind of press into what's in my heart as well. I have found myself in moments of sadness or stress or frustration, run to that store to see if I can buy anything, to see if it will make me feel better. And so I think even just you confessing and saying this out loud, the way that you have publicly, is just another way that God uses his people to show other people where there might be kind of some missteps in their own heart, you know, as to what that might be. And so I'm thankful that you have been vocal about this, because it's something that people are kind of embarrassed to talk about.
Well, it is embarrassing. And I because I feel like it, you know, to me, it just showed weakness, right? So it was like,
I love that you keep saying that, because it's so true. And we feel that. Yes. Yes.
It's like, oh, well, you can't deal. You can't deal with your stress. Oh, you can't deal with your, you know, and people, you know, I think people, you know, see me as sort of a strong person, and that's great. And that's the way God gifted me. But listen, you know, this is the reality of the human condition that we're in. We all have things that we run to, and we all have things that we struggle with. And, you know, and I think one of the things that has made it so, healing for me is to continue to talk about it, even when I want it, because sometimes I want to cave in, and sometimes I think, oh, maybe I shouldn't gone on Jamie's show and talked about this. You know what I mean? Because now more people will know about it. But the reality is no, that's what makes it beautiful, because only Jesus helps me be better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even like, you know, and I want God, when God was really just continuing to draw me to his side to say, I'm the best. You want me the most. You know, in the very last chapter of that book, I write about sitting in an antique mall, and I write about how I want to make my house more beautiful, and it already is. But really what I want is for God to clean me up and make me more beautiful. But I'm also scared that he will. And so if I shop, maybe I can make my house more beautiful, and maybe he won't rearrange me to the point where I've got to deal with stuff. And so, you know, we're a complex people, but at the core, what we really want is God the most. And these other things are just, you know, temporary smoke screens that we grab onto. And so whatever gets in our way, it just has to go. And so we just have to get to that point that I said earlier was, am I willing to let anything get between God and I? Or am I at the place where I am ready to eliminate whatever comes between us? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't want to eliminate any reason God might not bless me in my life. Mm-hmm. And shopping's not worth it. Yeah. And that's what we found out through this.
Lisa, it's beautiful. And thanks for your vulnerability and sharing, because the truth of the matter is we all have these things that we are just scared to say out loud. But you have shown us once again that saying it out loud, confessing it to God, confessing it to girlfriends, asking for accountability, these are actually some of the ways that God's used to persevere us, to make us look more like him and to get us to the end of this race, right? And so thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. I love being on.
Thanks for listening to this story. I believe that stories change the world. I believe that they tear down walls, open gates of conversation, and allow us to experience freedom in a new way. Your story matters, and I pray that you will have the courage to share your story with a close friend, just like my guest shared with me today. In my newest book, If You Only Knew, I go first and I share my story with you. You can find more information at ifyouonlyknewbook.net.
You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class links to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.